You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Thursday edition. If you listen to the last show, which is last week, Friday, I announced that I would not be doing shows definitely Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and that was the case, and maybe not Thursday and Friday. It looks like Thursday and Friday is on. That's why I'm on the air today. And probably next week I might miss a day, but or maybe even two. But from now on, we should have a show as scheduled, usually between 5 and 6. On one day, it might be from 4 to 5, but I'll stay tuned on that. It's still pending as to exactly what the schedule is. This is the beginning of the broadcasting season, and we have a number of people, new people, that want to do shows. So I can't monopolize, but I regularly do at least an hour show Monday through Friday, and I'm trying to do a solid two-hour show. And keep in mind, if you listen to the podcast, normally I can reduce the size of the show by about 30% by shortening the pauses. It does somewhat change the show a little bit in terms of the tone, if you will, but it does compress it and really respects your time. And it usually, for every hour I broadcast, little inside baseball means about 2 hours of post-production to, if you will, compact it down. Now, if you listen to the last show, you know I didn't really have time to get into two topics, and I will get into those two topics today. Not only me, but a number of other talk show hosts as well as TV commentators have noted that the Democratic Party is very much divided, and they have moved really further and further to the left to the extent that the leadership has to cater to the far leftist in their party. And as I said in that last show, the Democratic Party is no longer the Democratic Party of your parents, your mother and father, even grandparents. And they have very much betrayed the American people, the people that have supported them for generations. And the reason I said that is because up until about 10 years ago, the Democratic Party was advocating what? Stopping the illegal alien invasion of this country. In other words, building a fence, a barrier, and wall. And then they suddenly changed their tune. Did you notice that? Because you can pull up clips from 10, 15, 20 years ago, and the Democrats sound like Donald Trump. And remember, Donald Trump is a New York City liberal Democrat. If you're going to build buildings in New York City, Manhattan, you need political support. And the party that has ruled New York City, not necessarily the state, but New York City and the surrounding area, are Democrats. I'm from New York. My family was, for many generations, Democrats. Now, I was very much for limited government. I'm very much a classical liberal, so I tended to focus in on the political philosophy of the people, and I quickly saw that the Democratic Party was for big government, and they wanted to largely increase the scope, the role of government, and that led to huge deficits that have gotten even bigger and bigger. So for most of my voting life, I voted Republican, not because I had any loyalty to the Republican Party, because even then I saw that, especially in New York, that you had big government Republicans. Remember, the two progressives that really started this ball rolling in the United States, yes, Woodrow Wilson, a Democrat, a progressive, no doubt about it, and who else? Teddy Roosevelt, Theodore Roosevelt. They were both big-time progressives. Theodore Roosevelt even revolted against the Republicans, ran against Taft, and lost with the Bull Moose Party, and that enabled Woodrow Wilson to win. Now, this is somewhat of American history, but you need to know the history of both parties and where they've stood on issues, because what surprises people that history does repeat itself. And what I have in mind, and this last couple of days, you could see the history coming to the fore again. And what I'm talking about is both the New York State new abortion law that was passed and signed by Governor Cuomo, a Catholic, in my mind, should be kicked out of the church, but it's not going to happen, folks. You can wish it all you want. But take that aside for a minute. The progressives were responsible and largely led a movement, the eugenics movement. It had its origins in England and then came to the United States, and then from the United States it went to Germany. It's Nazi National Socialist German Workers' Party, Nazi Germany. And what they initially are about, they were racist, folks. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They wanted to have, you had positive eugenics and negative eugenics. Positive eugenics was to build a superior race, a generation of Superman that had certain characteristics. It's just like breeding cattle or breeding pigs. Well, we're talking breeding human beings. That was positive eugenics. Negative eugenics was to not do that. In other words, discourage certain groups. And yes, blacks were number one, but the feeble-minded people that were mentally retarded. Now, ideally, they would like to kill them, but they knew that simply would not go over well in the United States, so they sterilized them. And you'd be surprised, many, many states went along with this. And the elites in both parties that were progressives led this. It's a very sad and rather disgusting history of the United States. They had the so-called Negro Project. Now, they weren't honest in the sense of telling people what they were about, but they wanted to discourage blacks from reproducing, and through birth control, and if that didn't work, through abortions. Margaret Sanger was the founder of what became Planned Parenthood. And today, Planned Parenthood, while it's in many communities, it's usually located either in or on the fringes of black neighborhoods, Hispanic neighborhoods, and yes, poor white neighborhoods. Like in New York City, the statistics, that's rather stunning, there are more black babies aborted each year than are actually born. So they've been fabulously successful, and the blacks go along with it because they find blacks, Barack Obama is a good example, but there are others, that will be big supporters and advocates of Planned Parenthood. And as a result of the 60 million abortions that have occurred since the Supreme Court decision Roe versus Wade, which legalized abortion, and it's really state by state decides it. What has happened? The statistics vary, but between 30% and 35% each year of both blacks and Hispanics, they are the majority of abortions. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't white women that abort their babies. There definitely are. But the so-called Negro Project was successful. They don't trumpet it at all. And matter of fact, they play down the fact that the progressive movement, to get the leaders in the progressive movement, also were leaders in the eugenics movement. Now, the reason they play it down is, where does this lead? And that's the important point here. And who picked up on what the United States was doing in terms of sterilization of the so-called unfit, the people that were feeble-minded or had eyesight problems, if you believe that. That's how crazy some of this is. Well, Nazi Germany. Did they start out killing Jews? No. No, not really. They went after who? The mentally retarded. People that they thought were unproductive. And the state should not support them. In fact, should eliminate them by killing them by gas. showers. A sad part of German history, but that's how it begun. Now, yes, it wasn't. You get conflicting reports here. I think Hitler even understood that this was not going over well with the German people, but was it discontinued? Not really. They kept on doing it. You see, it starts with small steps to get the people used to what the state is doing. Is it evil? You better believe it. What we're talking about is the killing or murder of innocent people because someone in the state has determined that you are unfit by whatever criteria and you're a burden to society. They start with the young and the old, and then they go after certain races as they define it, namely the Jews, the gypsies, and then they go after their political opponents. Actually, they did all three together, and that led to the Holocaust of over 6 million Jews. But others, including religious leaders, opposition to their agenda, the agenda of the Nazi, the National Socialist German Workers' Party. The reason I say that, what are we seeing happening today? The reappearance, not that it never really disappeared, but a revival of socialism, that is the answer, even though if anyone studies history, it's been a failure after failure after failure. Venezuela is just the most recent case. You see, colleges today are really indoctrination centers. So you can send your children to college and they come home with ideas that you didn't put in their head, but they slowly got, especially starting in junior high or high school. And then to the extent that they go to college, they get more of it. I use the more general term. Actually, there are two of them. Collectivist or statist. Now, collectivists put the government or the state. I prefer the state, but that confuses people in the United States. It shouldn't. But the government over the people. In other words, they don't put emphasis on the individual at all. It's what the state needs to do. It is very much collectivist. It can take many forms. And that's why in statism, you have monarchies, dictatorships, party leaders. But invariably, it's the state that's emphasized, not the individual. And they don't tolerate dissent. As a matter of fact, one of the first things they do once they come to power is to make sure that they control what you hear and see by controlling the press today, the television and radio. And what it invariably leads to is an authoritarian, and if it even gets worse than that, a totalitarian regime where the state rules. And really, it's the party, whatever that name of that party is, that crushes dissent in any form. They truly do not believe in freedom, free speech, individual rights. They are trying to crush them. But it starts, first and foremost, to go after the people with the least ability to defend themselves. It's been described as, in an important book that I recommend you read, The War Against the Weak. Well, who is the most defenseless? Babies are the most defenseless. So am I surprised that New York State passed an abortion law that, in effect, you can have an abortion up to and including the day of delivery? And what's interesting about the bill, people were scratching their heads. You would think they would say, or limited in the extent that it'd have to be performed by a doctor, a medical doctor, or a practitioner, trained nurse. No. They made sure, because they were concerned that maybe there's not enough doctors or nurses that would do this. And that is, there can be a problem. Now, there are, in almost any major city, doctors that perform many abortions every single day. Don't doubt it. And you have people trying to protest them. But they were afraid that the medical community would oppose this. Not that you can't find doctors, and there have been for over 50, 60 years, that will perform abortion. They're out there, folks. But they're certainly not a majority. They're a minority. Because what you're doing is killing a human being, whether it's in the womb or after its birth. And you see, that's where it gets, that's the start of it. It continues, and well, let's say the baby's delivered. Maybe we should give, and here's where it goes, another year or two or three to see if it works. And if it doesn't, maybe you could kill the child then. The phrase is slippery slope. Oh boy, this is a slippery slope. But what are we talking about? In terms of morality, it's evil. It is evil. because what you're doing is murdering, killing another human being. Now, they want to couch it, and they do, in terms of the health of the woman. Oh, I believe that a woman's health should be protected, but I also believe the health of a baby in the womb should be protected. They're not mutually exclusive. They always want to make it a health issue and a woman's right to control her body. I agree with that. But controlling your body and health does not mean you or the doctor or whoever performs the abortion, and it is a medical procedure, have the right to kill the unborn. I know many of you disagree. The so-called pro-choice. I don't think murder or killing is a choice. A crime, yes. Immoral, yes. A sin, yes. Evil, yes. And people choose that every day. It doesn't make it right. It makes it fundamentally wrong. Yet you have people of many faiths going against the teachings of their own religion or faith. And we see it in New York State, and we saw it in Virginia. And let me play a clip, because this clip was getting a lot of attention, of a Virginia governor. He was on the radio. Now, some are saying, and I'm sensitive to this, he was taken out of context. I don't think he was taken out of context. And I'll play the entire clip. This is Virginia Governor Ralph Northam, a Democrat, a doctor. Listen to this.
When Fairfax County Delegate Kathy Tran made her case for lifting restrictions on third trimester abortions, as well as other restrictions now in place. And she was pressed by a Republican delegate about whether her bill would permit an abortion, even as a woman is essentially dilating, ready to give birth. And she answered that it would permit an abortion at that stage of labor. Do you support her measure, and explain her answer?
Yeah, and I wasn't there, Julie, and I certainly can't speak for Delegate Tran, but I will tell you, first thing I would say, this is why decisions such as this should be made by providers, physicians, and the mothers and fathers that are involved. There are, when we talk about third trimester abortions, these are done with the consent of obviously the mother, with the consent of the physicians, more than one physician, by the way. And it's done in cases where there may be severe deformities, there may be a fetus that's non-viable. So in this particular example, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. So I think this was really blown out of proportion.
A couple of points. I don't doubt this happens, but I don't think the mother, the woman involved, nor the doctor should spend time and have the right to kill a baby, in this case, out of the womb. Breathing, viable, out of the womb. It's murder, folks. It's killing another human being. Does it happen? I don't doubt it happens. And he's a doctor, if anyone should know. He seems to give the impression that he does know what's going on. It's not the doctor involved or the woman's involved decision to murder someone, and they get a pass on this. Oh, yes, we make the baby comfortable. And then what do we have? A minute discussion, an hour discussion, and then kill it? No discussion is how they kill it, but they will kill it. You don't feed it, it will die. If you put it out in the cold, it will die. How do you kill a baby? Well, you can inject chemicals, drugs, just like we kill, murder, the state does, those that have committed murder. This is just where it leads and is leading. And how many hours, days, weeks, months can we have this deliberation until the decision must be made? You see, my point is, I'm against abortion. I'm for pro-life. I am pro-life. I don't think one human being has the right to kill another human being. Are there exceptions? Obviously, in times of war. But that's not what we're talking about. Unfortunately, many women use abortion as a method of birth control. And you see case after case, it should be the exception. It should not happen, but it does. And I'm not saying it's an easy decision, but there are alternatives. Yes, you can carry the baby to term, and it can be adopted if you decide you don't want to raise the child. You see, this is the consequences. And who is targeted? targeted. That's something that's seldom brought up. And the statistics, you can dig and get some. They're not as complete as I would like. But the majority, more than 50%, are who? Black women killing their black babies, boys and girls, in the womb. The most dangerous place to be if you're a black baby, especially now in New York City and New York State. You see, the aims of decreasing the population of blacks through first birth control, sterilization, and now abortion have been successful. And the irony is, who supports this? The Democratic Party. And who gives the Democratic Party 90-95% of their votes, almost election after election? The black population. And yes, followed by Hispanics. Oh, it's a genocide, and it is decreasing so much that because of the illegal alien invasion of this country, soon blacks will be outnumbered by Hispanics. In many states, they already are. And the reason is simple. The high number of abortions since the Supreme Court decision of Roe versus Wade. It's blacks, by far, who abort their babies. Millions. Over 60 million. Let's say it's a third, roughly. 20 million blacks. Over those years. And yes, Hispanic, close second, maybe not 20 million, maybe only 15 million. But you get the idea. Planned Parenthood is supported by tax dollars. If you want to know the reason many people are leaving the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, you don't have to go far. This is one of them. It definitely is. And they deeply resent that the money they send to Washington to support big government is funding hundreds of millions of dollars for the abortion mills led by Planned Parenthood. And they are in the black Hispanic neighborhoods or bordering on them in almost every major city. It's not rare. It's not the exception. It's happening every day. Several thousand babies are aborted every day. It's become normal that one human being can kill another human being. Oh, I believe mothers have a right to control their bodies, but that right does not extend to the baby in the womb that they have the right to kill that baby. There was a famous abortionist that produced a movie, and I recommend you view this movie. It was Dr. Nathanson. He was, let's say, the star of the abortion movement, but he did change his tune. He showed, and this was when ultrascans were just becoming known, how the baby fights. I put it near the top. Well, actually, it is the first video clip. It's called The Silent Scream. It is graphic. It is disturbing because you see how one human being, the baby, struggles trying to protect themselves against a doctor trying to kill the baby. It should and does disturb most people. And you see it with ultrasound. And that's why outfits like Planned Parenthood really don't want the people requesting abortion to see it. Because if you can see the baby in the womb, many decide not to do it. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't think this is an easy decision, and most Americans don't want to talk about it. And I don't give many shows on this subject because it's hard to convince the so-called pro-choice people that believe a woman should have a right to control her body. If I've heard that once, I've heard it 100 times. Does that mean you have a right to kill a baby? It's not a baby. It's a fetus. Well, I suggest you first start by viewing The Silent Scream. And then if you're pregnant, go to your doctor and let him show you what your baby looks like. You see, in many countries around the world, abortion is limited to the first so-called trimester. In the United States, in several states, including now New York State, it goes right up to birth. Most European countries do not allow second and third trimesters abortion. That might surprise you. I think one of the problems the United States has is there's never been a vote on this. Remember, this is a group of non-elected judges, justices, Supreme Court justices that came to this decision. I'm not going to argue the legal part of this. I'm not an attorney. But I think if a state would give the electorate, put on a ballot, I think many states, like many states do, would prohibit abortions, especially in the second and third trimester. Usually it takes 39 to 40 weeks from conception to birth. And viability is usually defined, and it's getting lower and lower, but it's around 20, 21 weeks, halfway through. In other words, a baby delivered early, a premature baby delivered in the 20th week, may very well survive, given the advances in technology. So I wanted to call your attention as to what's happening. But this is a repeat of history, folks. It's disguised, and you've heard the justification. We got to protect the woman's health. I believe you should protect the woman's health. But rarely does that mean you have to kill a baby to do that. There are cases which that is true. I'll be the first one to say that. But they're rare, especially today, given the advances in science, medical science, and technology. And yes, if you see the ultra scan of your baby, that tends to tip the scale. And that's why this video is so important, that you need to view it if you haven't. Many people have never heard of it, but it's a very famous video, The Silent Scream. And the silent scream is of a fetus, I prefer saying baby, in the womb. So New York signed the legislation, and they had a celebration. I'm not going to play it. It frankly disgusts me. But who are these people celebrating? The progressives. Not of the Woodrow Wilson, or Theodore Roosevelt generation, but the progressives of today that believe in bigger and bigger government, where the state dominates and controls individuals. And that includes giving the people that support them the right to kill their own babies. Where does it go from here? What's next? Does it go to 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 6 years? You can change your mind and have your child killed. And that's the young. They always go after the young, the defenseless. You see, I believe babies, whether born or in the womb, have rights too. It's a fundamental civil rights issue. That's who should be protected by the law and isn't. And the progressives are proud of it. Fetuses don't have rights. Babies don't have rights if they're in the womb. Well, excuse me, I beg to differ. They do and should. If anyone's rights should be protected, is those that are least able to defend themselves, and that's babies in the womb and young babies, infants, and young children. But we've seen where this leads and has led in Germany in the 1930s. And where did Hitler get his ideas from? Oh, the United States. And where did the United States get its ideas on this from? The United Kingdom or England. What we're seeing is history again repeating itself. It should scare you. It should disturb you. And as much as you don't want to talk about it, discuss it, you need to. I'm going to get this quote wrong. It's a famous quote. First they came for the Jews, and I wasn't a Jew, so I didn't protest. Then they came for the communists. I wasn't a communist, so I didn't protest. Then they came for the union members. I wasn't a union member, so I didn't protest. And finally, they came for me, and there was no one to defend me. Now, that's a paraphrase of a famous quote. It is, in my mind, a low point, and sad to say, this has happened before in the United States. More than 25, I think, upwards of 30 states approved a sterilization of the so-called unfit. And now we're hearing about aborting people, babies with Down syndrome. And a governor that's a medical doctor, and I think he knows what he's talking about. It's not publicized. The babies are born, and in Virginia, and probably in other states, they are killed. Many are not resuscitated on the orders of the parents. Really, the orders of the mother. I won't get into the rights of the father here. You see, they want to frame the issue as a health issue and a woman's issue. That's the wrong frame. And what I mean by that, you're overlooking an individual that should have rights as well, and that's a baby. Whether it's seconds or minutes old or it's still in the womb. Because why, on occasion, a baby has to be aborted to save the life of the woman, that is rare, especially today. Unfortunately, it's become routine. And yes, big lie media, especially in television, various series. Oh, the opinions of people have changed on this subject. They have. I'll be the first to say they have. But we haven't been getting the unbiased truth. And that's why, fortunately, in Virginia, and remember, I'm not a Democrat or Republican, but on this issue, the Republicans stopped this. Thank God. But they didn't do it in New York. I guess today they're no longer the Empire State. They're the baby-killing state. Not something I would be proud of and not something I would cheer for when the bill passed. They have lost their moral compass. Oh, yes, they have a political agenda. But those that support this party, the Democratic Party, and that's the majority of blacks, majority Hispanics, better learn the history of the Democratic Party and what their progressive leaders, so-called progressive leaders, favored. And it came from where? The elites. The very well-off. The leadership of this party. The Rockefellers. The Carnegies. The Harrimans and others. That's why if you want to learn about it, I recommend this book. And if you don't have time to read The War Against the Weak, Eugenics and America's Campaign to Create a Master Race, and that's exactly what it was trying to do, then at least spend an hour after you've viewed The Silent Scream, a video called Eugenics, Hitler, Margaret Sanger's Plan, Murderhood, etc. by Edwin Black. He's the author. I know many of you are not readers and certainly won't go out and buy or go to the library and read it, but you have no excuse. You can at least listen to what this gentleman has said. And it's on book C-SPAN 2 TV. Now, this leads in to what's going on in the Democratic Party. You've heard President Trump call him extreme, radical. Oh, I think he's right. Does that mean all Democrats? No. But there are almost no conservative Democrats that I can think of, and fewer moderates. In my mind, the Democratic Party today is controlled by progressives, socialists, and communists. And they're proud of it. They are proud of it. And they unfortunately view, I think, the majority of the American people, and you heard it out of the lips of Hillary Clinton, as deplorables. That's how arrogant they are. Did I think that phrase hurt her in the election? You better believe it did. I never said she was brilliant, but it really did reflect her view. They think they're their elite, and they think they know best, when in fact, what they recommend, in many people's opinion, are policies that are not only wrong, but evil. Hillary Clinton is a big supporter of Planned Parenthood and an admirer of Margaret Sanger. And so was Barack Obama. You can always find the useful idiots to try to convince, in this case, blacks, that Planned Parenthood is looking out for the black mothers. No, what it's trying to do is limit the number of blacks, if not have a decline in the number of blacks in the population. Oh, it's not pro-life, it's pro-death. And the majority are black deaths and Hispanic deaths, and yes, even poor white deaths. And this is in a country where there are millions of Americans that would adopt children if a mother feels that she's not in a position to raise a child. That's what they stand for. I would never in good conscience support any politician, Democrat, Republican, or any party that advocates the killing of babies, whether young children just born or those in the womb. Is there an exception? Really only one. If truly the life of a mother is threatened. In my mind, that's the only situation. And it should be very, very rare that you need to do this. There are others that say no exceptions. But that means the mother would die. It's not an easy, but today abortion has become routine. Many that have multiple abortions use it as a form of contraception or birth control. And its origins are in the progressives, both the Democrat and Republican parties, the eugenics movement supported by the very, very wealthy in this country. I think you've heard of the Rockefellers, Andrew Carnegie, Harriman, the very, very rich, that felt threatened by blacks, Hispanics, and the poor. And they wanted to breed a Superman, a super race. But it became, after World War II, out of favor. Now they don't call it eugenics. Instead, it's population control. And you see it or at least hear of it, in communist China, where you're only allowed one child. And the second, if you have a second child and the government, the state, the communist Chinese become aware of it, they will force you, if you're a woman, to have an abortion. And yes, they'll even kill the child. Is that the type of country you want? Because that is the road to serfdom, the road to tyranny. And you have no further to look at is communist China and North Korea. Ideas have consequences. And we have now a political party, the Democratic Party, that in my mind has moved so far to the left, has become more and more not liberal. Many still are, but now definitely progressive. And let me say one thing about them. Many of these people were communist or the children of communist or socialists. And sort of the inside joke was, when asked, are you a communist or socialist? They would answer, no, I'm a progressive. It's today respectable in the Democratic Party to call yourself a progressive. At one time, that was not the case. Not that we haven't had progressive politicians. We have had them of both parties. And that's why today I'm no longer a Democrat or a Republican. I woke up. It took me a long time because most people have lives to live, jobs, careers, families. So they're not, let's say, tuned in, well-informed. And you need very much a well-informed citizenry. Otherwise, you'll have exactly what has happened in the United States today. We have gone from very much a representative republic under a constitution to what many call the American Empire, where we intervene not only in the U.S. economy, but in many, many countries. And where you see a disrespect for life, where does this lead? Not only to intervention in country after country, but the killing of innocents in other countries. And they justify it by saying the ends justify the means. No, they do not. No, they do not. But that's what these people believe. That's why many of them are today rather hysterical and have what's been described as Trump derangement syndrome. I wasn't a supporter of Trump, but I certainly didn't vote for Hillary Clinton, nor could I vote for Donald Trump. He has turned out better than I expected, but I thought he was the lesser of two evils. Not that that's very profound, but he's turned out better than many Republican candidates. You see, the Republican Party, and this just illustrates their problem, they were supposed to repeal and replace Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act. They didn't do it. They were supposed to defund Planned Parenthood, so Planned Parenthood got no tax money. They didn't do it. And then they wonder why their own voter base doesn't come out and vote for them. Because you no longer know what the Republican Party stands for, and even when they say it, whether or not they will deliver on their promises. And they have not delivered on their promises. You see, I saw about 10 years ago, 2006, and someone pointed this out to me. And the more I looked, I said, you know, they're right. Both parties today are big spending parties. Government spending at the federal level is simply out of control. So it doesn't really matter if you believe in fiscal responsibility, and I do, and balanced budgets, and limited government. You should never be voting for the Republican candidate, nor the Democratic Party. Doesn't need to be said, because what they're doing is just as immoral as abortion. They are taxing, spending, burdening who? Not only living generations, but future generations. We have a government that the American people cannot afford at all. And what I mean by that, spending should be limited to the taxes they collect. But now, every single year, doesn't matter whether it's a Democrat or Republican, they spend so much money that they have to borrow, borrow, borrow. And I'm not against borrowing if it's truly an investment, but you cannot year in, year out, really since the beginning of World War II and continuing right up to today. It's so out of control that the United States is fast becoming Greece. Many, and I would agree with them, the United States is broke and bankrupt. Yet we have politicians in both parties, primarily the Democratic Party, but we have them in the Republican, and they are the majority, and that's part of the problem. Oh yeah, they are Republicans that believe in free enterprise, competitive market capitalism. But they're not anywhere near a majority. They don't have the votes. That's why you got to be very careful and break the bad habit of automatically voting either Republican or Democrat. Ladies and gentlemen, this does not end well. But the game plan, the strategy of both parties, and you hear it already, vote for me and I'll give you some free stuff. What do you want? A free college education? It's yours. The government will pay for it. Oh, they will? How does that work? The government doesn't create wealth. It uses the power of taxation. It coerces payments out of the productive American citizens that work. There's no such thing as government money. What they're using, the government, the law, the regulations, is to take your hard-earned income from you. And they're never satisfied. And the rates go up and down, up and down, up and down. It's been happening since the implementation of the income tax that, frankly, in my mind, is a legacy tax, needs to be totally replaced. We need to do away with the way we fund or finance the federal government and replace it with a broad-based consumption tax. Now, I don't have time to get into that, and I won't, because it is a little bit off topic. But we have problems, and they're not leading in the right direction. And voting Democrat or Republican is not the answer. That's a bad habit that you need to get out of. In my mind, the only way that this will be stopped is if the largest political affiliation in the United States today is not Republican, it's not Democrat, it's independent. And although the number varies, roughly around 45% of the American people. Sometimes it's a little higher, sometimes it's slower. The general trend is a larger and larger and larger percent of the American electorate is not affiliated with either the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. They are independent. Now, I just got the signal, I'm a little embarrassed on this, that I have to wrap it up. I thought I had another at least half an hour. So what I'm going to do is make this a two-part program and discuss the second story. And that is an update as to what President Trump is trying to do. I think he now fully understands, and probably did from the very beginning, that the Democratic Party is not going to give him a penny for a wall, a fence, or border barrier. The Democrats are replacing their American voters with illegal aliens. The plan is to give all the illegal aliens in this country, whether it's 30 million or 60 million citizenship. And if they accomplish that, they truly believe, and I think they're right, they will dominate, and in many states, if not the country, a single party. And we've seen where this single party is going. And they do it by promising you so-called free stuff that you really pay for. So I'll talk about that and play the remarks of Donald Trump in the White House today. What I think Donald Trump is going to do, the State of the Union message will be the start of the 2020 campaign. And he will, by hook or by crook, because he has to, he very much has to, build hundreds of miles of new wall, fence, barrier, whatever you want to call it. The United States needs to have an additional about 1,500 miles. 1,500 miles. Remember, we have 350 miles built to stop human beings. Another 150 miles, roughly, a wilderness where it doesn't make a lot of sense to have a barrier or fence or wall, which means you need about 1,500 miles. President Trump will try to do that using military funding, reprogramming money from the Department of Homeland Security as well as the Defense Department. And he will, if he wants to get a second term, build at least 1,000 miles of that barrier, ideally complete it with 1,500 miles. And if he does, he will get reelected. And he should. And I'd vote for him if he delivers on his two-part promise. The first part was to build the wall with the beautiful door in it, namely legal immigration. And the second part, which he has not delivered on, is to deport all the illegal aliens that are here. And I will play what he said when he was not President Trump, but candidate Trump. To remind you, what he said. What was his promise? And his promise was to build a wall and deport, starting with the so-called criminal illegal aliens. Actually, they're all criminals. They have broken the law if they've broken into the United States, and then deport the others as well. That's the fair thing to do, the right thing to do, and the majority of the American people, why they favor legal immigration, as do I, they want the invasion of this country over the last 32 to 33 years stopped, and the people that have come here illegally returned or removed and deported to their country of origin. So I'll give you an update on that and what the president said today in his remarks to the White House. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio. WordPress.com